Amen. Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Judges, Judges chapter 7. The book of Judges is really about a period in time where Israel, really before the kings were established or made, they were led by certain people. Sometimes these were spiritual leaders like Samuel, and sometimes they were warriors like Samson, and sometimes they were just like motivators like Gideon, and how God used different people to bring the people of Israel out from their enemies, and we're going to find that today. Matter of fact, if you back up a chapter, we'll find in chapter 6 that the enemies of God's people, the Midianites, have been persecuting, and so God's going to raise up this man named Gideon to lead the people of Israel out of the bonds of the enemies of God. And so I'd like to read to you, it's kind of like setting the stage here, chapter 7, I'm going to read 1 through 8, and then jump down to verse 16. So here's what the Bible says. Judges chapter 7 says, "Then when Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, My own hand have saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whoso is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned to the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, This shall go with thee, and the same shall go with thee. And whomsoever I shall say unto thee, This shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people into the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, Everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shall thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that bows down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, but all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, By the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into your hands, and let all the other people go, every man into his place. So the people took victuals in their hands, and took the trumpets, and he set all the rest of Israel, every man into his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian that was beneath him in the valley. Now verse 16 says this, And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and put the trumpets in every man's hands, with an empty pitcher, and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me, and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall you do. And when I blow the trumpet, and I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also every side of all the camp, and say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and all the 100 men that were with him came to the camp, outside of the camp, in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers, and held the lamps in their left hands, and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 men blew the trumpets. And the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshittah and Zerath, and the border of Abel-Molah, unto the Tabath. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together, Naphtali, out of the Asher, and out of the Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us hope and peace and how you overcome great obstacles in our life. Thank you, Lord, for using the few to overcome the mighty. It gives us hope today that even us can be used by you, that we can do great things by your power and might, that there are no obstacles too great in our life that you cannot overcome for those that will simply follow you. So, Lord, today give us unction, give us a desire to follow you, help us be found faithful, help us to do your will and your way. Lord, thank you, Lord, again for that promise that when your word is read, it will not come back void. We ask all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm reminded again about Memorial Day, and this weekend as we celebrate, it is again a day to remember those that put on the uniform but never took it off. They died while serving. And we recognize this many times about being a grateful people. I've been to the gravesides many times when a color guard offers a flag. Because of faithfulness. And I like what they speak about. It says, on behalf of the President of the United States, and then they'll say, United States Army, the United States Marine Corps, the United States Navy, or Air Force. And so it continues with a grateful nation. Please accept this flag as a symbol of our appreciation for your loved ones' honorable and faithful service. And we remember that because we are thankful for people that gave a great sacrifice so we can live in freedom, so we can live in a life that can be used by the Lord, that we can stand today and proclaim our faith in the Lord above. And so we honor those, again, that have come before us, but also we're mindful that there's always going to be a battle, not a battle of flesh and blood, but really a battle of faith and a battle that is spiritual. And so we honor them today, again, by living a life of faith. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. And time again in the Bible, it speaks about that we might war a good warfare. And again, in 2 Timothy, Paul says, I have fought a good fight. So let me just remind you, as we think about Memorial Day, it's more than just a physical battle that we thank the Lord for and for those that have given their life. It's also the spiritual battles that we have fought in the past and for those that have went before us to provide a way that we may stand faithful. And we're going to find that Gideon gives us a good example to follow so that we can continue this course and that we can continue the good fight. And as Gideon found out that when he did it God's way, he overcame a great army, so can we. So let's take a few minutes and look at this passage and recognize some things in this passage so that we too can fight the good fight and have a great victory in our life. The first thing I'd like for you to see is this. The enemy that was seen, go back to chapter 7, verse 1, says, then Jerubbaal, who was Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Horeb, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them. If you remember your Bible history, the Midianites were really from the descendants of Abraham. Midian was the son of Abraham by his second wife, Keturah, after his first wife had passed away. And they resided in an area that we would probably call Saudi Arabia today. And they really turned against what God had said for them to do, and they were enemies against God's people. And we're going to find out that they show up yearly. If you back up again one chapter to chapter 6, that there was an annual occurrence that when they had raised up their crops, that the Midianites would come in and kind of overcome them, consume what they had planted, and then carried off the rest and left them in dire need. We find in verse 12 of chapter 7, at the end of the verse, they were without number. They were like the sands of the sea. There were so many of them. And so the Israelites had lived in fear for years and years and years and suffered greatly. And so the Lord's going to raise up a man named Gideon, a judge in Israel, to simply lead the people to victory. And it's good to take note for all of us that we face sometimes overwhelming situations, that we face circumstances that seem to be greater than we can overcome. But we're reminded by the scripture that with God, all things are possible and that we can overcome by the power of God. So notice what Gideon did and notice what the people of Israel did. First, we must recognize the real problem. We must recognize the real problem. Again, sooner or later, problems come to our life. James chapter 1 speaks about when problems come, when difficulties come. There's no way to get around difficulties. And so what is the real problem? Some would say the problem is they had no food. Every year that the food was gone. When you read Judges chapter 6 verse 4, it says this, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till they come into the Gaza and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. And so basically nothing left. Some could say, well, our problem is the food, no food, so we must plant more. We must be better stewards. We must be wiser about our farming techniques. That sounds great, but that's really not the problem. The problem is not a food. The problem is not a sense of food. It was just a matter of consequences of the real problem. Some would say, well, the real problem must be the Midianites. And again, you can make the case. Chapter 6, verse 3 says, and so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up and the Amalekites and the children of the east. Well, in one sense, that is a problem. Famine was produced by the Midianites. Their great numbers would come and consume. Again, verse 5 of chapter 6 speaks about they came up with their cattle and their tents as grasshoppers for a multitude. They overcame the land. But that's not really the real problem. That is a consequence of the real problem. The real problem is this. Again, chapter 6, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Midians 7 years. And so we're going to find the real problem is not just a lack of food and not just an enemy on the outside, but the real problem was they failed to serve the Lord. Judges chapter 6 verse 10 said this, "And I say unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice." The nation of Israel had turned from the Lord, and he said, fine in one sense, but just know there will be consequences. And let me just say, in our life today, if we ignore the Lord, if we turn from him, the Midianites will show up in our life. Now, I need to say, not every problem is from your disobedience. I think I preached on this quite well last week over and over again and made it clear that sometimes our problems come from different things. It's sometimes because we live in a fallen world, we understand that. And sometimes it's because of others and their sinful life. But lots of times our problems come because of our obedience to the Lord. We recognize we need to simply follow him. As a nation, Israel failed to follow. They failed to understand the importance of following and doing what the Lord wanted them to do. And as a nation, we too, if we don't stop our disobedience, will fall again. We will have the same issues and the same problems. If we don't stand up and start calling right, right, and wrong, wrong. I hear people all the time say, preacher, live and let live. Don't call on all those people, and you're going to turn people away. Well, let me remind you, as a nation, we must call right, right, and wrong, wrong. I'm thankful for this past week that our nation's leadership rededicated our nation back to the Lord. Now, you might disagree with that politically, and that's fine. I understand that. But I'm thankful for a leadership that now is not trying to take the Ten Commandments out of schools or forbidding prayer in schools, but now rededicates itself in a public reading of the Lord's Word and of prayer in a great way. How good that is. Let me say again, if we don't follow the Lord, the Midianites will show up in our life. Our life makes a difference. You and myself can make a difference. You say, well, I don't believe that. One person in the nation can't make a difference. Well, read Genesis chapter 18. If you remember Genesis 18, that is the idea of Sodom and Gomorrah. And before God destroyed that city, he was speaking with Abraham. And Abraham said, hey, if there's 45 righteous people, would you destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? And he said, oh, I would not. How about 40? How about 30? How about 20? How about 10 righteous people? And God said, I would not destroy the city for 10 righteous people. And so I'm telling you, if righteous people would stand up and be counted, I wonder what God would do in our midst. We are valuable in the eyes of God. And so we must recognize that real problem. But secondly, we must recognize the right solution to the problem. Recognize the right solution to the problem. It will not be in gathering troops. It will not be in great military might. It will not be in military technology. And even though there's nothing wrong with having great might and great military, we recognize first and foremost though where our help comes from. We recognize what we need to do. They're going to use technology with the pitchers and the lamps and those things and the trumpets. We recognize they use things, but they ultimately use the Father above. The help came when they ran to the Lord. Go back to Judges chapter 6, and it says this, verse 6, "And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." They recognized there is but one help. And I'm thankful today that same one that helped them is our helper today. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:6, "That we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." The Lord is always the right one to run to. And the nation relied on him in the past, but somewhere down the line, yes, we have turned. But hopefully we are turning back. We must turn back to him. And it is the idea of repentance that we turn from our ways to his ways. Sinful man cannot run to the Lord without the willingness to repent. And when we do, though, God is willing and able to forgive those things. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Sometimes we hear about this idea of a jailhouse conversion, and that's fine. Sometimes that happens where people get in bondage or getting in a time when they are bound down and they have this conversion point, and then when they get out, things change. But I've seen people in the jailhouse get right with God and stay right with God and make a huge difference in the lives of others for years to come. I wonder, will we simply be found faithful in true repentance and follow him? The Lord wants you and me to come back to Him, to trust Him, to follow Him, for His way is best. I wonder what's hindering us, what's hindering you, what's hindering me. I can tell you, it is not the Midianites, it is us. We need the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. I wonder, will you see the real problem today? That is a life without Christ. And again, it is a life that always leads to ending up being next door to the Midianites. Do you have problems today? I have the answer. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust Him and see what God will do. We're going to find that is exactly what Gideon and the people of God did. Not only was the enemy that was seen, but now secondly, we have an ego that was surrendered. The ego that was surrendered. We must see that for the Lord to work in Israel's midst, they had to humble themselves. And so we're going to find this first thing. There's a problem with pride, the problem with pride. Going now to Judges chapter 7, verse 2 says, and the Lord said to Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to get the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand hath saved me. Before the Lord will intervene, He wants them to be assured that it was by His power that this would be accomplished. The Lord knows that in their pride would cause them to stumble again quickly. If you think you're the reason you overcame, you will also quickly remind yourself that you're the reason that you failed. But when you put your faith in an almighty God that cannot be defeated, when you put your faith and recognize it was by His power and His might, that gives you much hope and peace. The Lord's saying, you must trust me, but also give me proper credit. Again, the Midianites were in the uncountable category. There was too many to count. And so we recognize that if they would have took those 32,000 men and overcome the great multitude, they would have said, hey, look at me. And so God wants us to humble ourselves in His eyes and recognize He is the one. It is a great thing that is not good in the eyes of God to have a sense of pride. Matter of fact, when you read Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, it says, these six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination. And He starts out with this, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imagination, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sets discord among brethren. There's a reason why He starts out with this idea of a proud look. We recognize it is something that we must humble ourselves and understand that pride is not what God wants. Matter of fact, pride is against God and incurs a great wrath. When you look at King David and look at his life and the things he did, there was two great mistakes. Well, there was many mistakes, but two great things. One is the adultery with Bathsheba. He had her husband killed and he hid it all. But the second thing he did also was counted the troops to see how great he was. And if you remember in 2 Samuel chapter 12, the punishment for adultery and murder was that the child would die. This unborn child, when he was born, it would quickly die. But in 2 Samuel chapter 24, the punishment for numbering the troops to see how great he was, we're going to find that God sent a plague and 70,000 died. Which sin incurred the greatest punishment? It was the sin of pride and not the sin of the flesh. Oh, we need to turn from those things and humble ourselves and recognize that we want to put pride away from us to allow the Lord to do work in our life and keep working in us as He said He would. If you've never given your life to Christ, you're saying, I can do it myself. Let me just remind you, you cannot. Put your faith and trust in the Lord. Don't recognize recognize you can't save yourself, but understand that by Christ you can be saved by His power and might. Not only was it a problem of pride, but secondly, we're going to find there's the pruning of the problem, the pruning of the problem. And so the Lord is going to give a solution so that we may know that the Lord's victory was accomplished by His power, not theirs. And it's going to be a two-part fix. One is the volunteer mode. Verse 3 of chapter 7, the Lord's going to say this, now therefore go, proclaim in the ears of people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return, depart early from Mount Gilead. And when there returned to the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And so He said, if you're afraid, go home. 22,000 people left. They were fearful. They just went back to the house. That word fearful is yare in the Hebrew there. It means to tremble. And we're going to find a little bit later on that Gideon is also afraid, but he does not go home. And you look at that, you understand why Gideon didn't leave. because he trusted in the Lord more than he trusted in himself. He was unwilling to let the fear of Midian overpower his faith in God. I like what Elizabeth Elliot said. This is great. She said, sometimes fear won't leave, and you just have to do it afraid. That is what we call courage. And so today, when God calls you to do something great, I wonder, is there a sense of fear and trembling in your life? Maybe it's witnessing. Maybe it's speaking for the Lord. Maybe it's saying right is right and wrong is wrong. Maybe it's sharing your faith. Maybe it's helping others, and you have to get out of your comfort zone, and it's fearful. And yet we find Gideon stayed firm, and so should we. Not only did the volunteer group go home, but now we're going to have the voluntold group go home. You know what voluntold is. That's kind of like church today. They don't volunteer yet. They voluntold you. Say, hey, we need to help here. And so God's going to send some more guys there. Verse 4 of chapter 7 says, the Lord said to Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will try thee there. And it shall be that whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And whomsoever I shall say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. I'm sure Gideon's thinking, like, I'm down to 10,000. Man, do I got to give up more? Did I got to surrender more people? By the way, God did not give Gideon a complete idea of what he was going to do yet. He just said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go down to the water hole. I want you to bring you guys there. And the ones I show you, that's the ones I'm going to. And so Gideon probably had a temptation to kind of slay or move things in the direction that he wants them to go, but God does not give him a complete revelation yet. Verse 6 says, and the number of them that laughed, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, but all the rest of the people bowed upon their knees to drink water. Verse 7 says, and the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men that laughed, will I save you to deliver the Midianites into your hands and let all the other people go, every man to his place? And so we find that Gideon basically gets to a point where he cannot figure out how to win with 10,000. He cannot figure out how to win with 32,000. He can't figure out how to win with any except for 300. And he recognizes that it is impossible, that basically he is all alone. And so let me remind you, that is exactly where God wants us, to be all alone with his power. To recognize we cannot overcome by ourselves, that we have no power in ourselves to beat the enemy out there. But with God, all things, again, are possible. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, and he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, Ye of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Somebody may say later on to Gideon, man, how did you win that great battle with 32,000 people? I saw you lead with 32,000. How did you overcome? And then Gideon gets to the point, says, we didn't win with 32,000. We won with the 300. And they would say, that is impossible. And again, the thought would be, with God, it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, nothing shall be impossible. So today, as you look at your life and the things that you face, what are you trusting in? What makes you feel secure? Some, it may be our bank account, and recognize, hey, I'm secure. I've saved this money. I'm doing good. I feel secure in my life. I'm reminded what 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, charge them that are rich in this world that they shall not be high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Yes, it feels good to have some money in the bank for those things that come, but I'm telling you, they are fleeting and they can be gone like that. Some put their faith in their brain. They are sharp, quick-witted mind. And you think, well, I can focus or use logic to get myself out of any situation. I'm telling you, that mind will soon slip away. It will soon diminish. You cannot trust in your mind. You must trust in the Lord. Some put their faith in beauty. And I was going to say, Dennis, you are safe from that. Amen. You're going to lose it. I'm telling you, it is fleeting and fading. I wonder, will you come to the point of simply trusting in the Lord? Will you come to the point when you recognize it's only by his grace? Will you surrender your ego today and trust in the Lord? What you could do is nothing compared to what he can do. And he can overcome all things if you'll simply trust in him. Well, notice the third point, not just the enemy that was seen and the ego that was surrendered, but now the energy that was spent, even though the battle will be won by the power of God, they had to do something. Faith had to be demonstrated. So notice first the perfect timing that was followed. We're going to recognize in verse 9, it says this, "And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down to the host, for I have delivered it into thy hand." There was a time and place when God said, it is now time to strike. So many times, I'm just going to testify by my life, that I lollygag around. God said, this is the time to do it. This is the time to go. This is the time to open your mouth. This is the time to speak. This is the time to witness. This is the time to give. This is the time. And I want to say, Lord, maybe not so much the time. But I can tell you this. When you do it God's way, when you follow His timing, when He impresses upon you to do something and you do it, man, great things take place. We can look at the past and see where God told people and nations to do certain things and how they failed to do that and it cost them dearly. We can talk about Numbers chapter 13 when they were going to the promised land and the spies went in and came out and all the things they said. And the people said, we can't do that. And they missed a great blessing. And so God wants us to follow His path at the right time and the right place. Now, notice Gideon was a man kind of like us. He needed some help. So God's going to give him a pep talk. When you read verses 10 through 11, He said, but if you fear to go down, go do this. Go down and check things out. Of course, there's going to be a hesitation with Gideon, just as there's a hesitation with us sometimes. The Midianites were the greatest army of the day. They had beaten everybody in one sense. But if we'll simply recognize that God's able, it will help us. I think about the enemy we face today. 1 Peter chapter 5 says this, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour." But if we'll trust Christ and simply act when He calls us to act, and simply do those things, it will work out. Colossians 2:15 says, "Having spoiled principalities and powers, He made us show them openly, triumph over them." And so we recognize that Christ is able to overcome. Christ overcame by His death, His burial, and resurrection. And so again, He gives him a little pep talk and provides more encouragement for Gideon, 11 through 15. He's going down, he sees the things, he comes back, and he is encouraged to fight for the Lord. And so God does that for us, that He gives us those little things that encourages us to fight the good fight of faith. It may be a word from a friend. It may be a scripture that you see. It may be a song that is sung. Take those things and recognize that God is using that so that we get into line and follow Him. The Lord is with us, and the time was now to get doing what the Lord had said. That's the idea that He gave Gideon. But not only a perfect timing that was followed, but notice this, the pattern that was to be followed, the pattern that was to be followed. Again, the order for victory to be success, there was something Gideon needed to do. So notice verse 17, it says this, "And he said unto them, Look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that so as I do, so shall you do. And when I blow the trumpet, and I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of the camp, and say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon." Basically, Gideon says, do exactly what I do to be used of the Lord to overcome the trials we face. And I think the Apostle Paul, kind of a side note here, wants us to be that same way. Paul in 2 Thessalonians speaks about being an example for us to follow. He was saying, follow me. 1 Corinthians 4:16 says this, be ye followers of me. 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as also of Christ. Philippians 4:9, one of my favorite verses says this, for those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And so Paul was saying, follow me, live like me, act like me, and God's going to use you. I wonder today if that is our prayer, that we could say to others, live like me, speak like me, serve like me, and God will be a blessing to you and others. I wonder, are we willing to be used by God like that? Our society needs an example to follow, and they need us to live for the Lord so they can see a life centered and focused on the Father above, that they too may have great hope. And so they're going to do that. They're going to follow Gideon. Verse 19 says this: So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came to the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hand. Verse 20 says, And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers, and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, The sword of the Lord and with Gideon. Verse 21 says, And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. So they made a noise, that's the sound of the trumpets. They let their light shine when they broke the pitchers. They made a shout, and they stood still and saw the success of the Lord. Now, that doesn't seem like much, but it was a step of faith. It doesn't seem like the thing that would overcome, but that's what God called him to do. And in your life today, God may be calling you to do something so small you think, but that is exactly what others need that they may overcome as well. The Lord is willing to do so much in life if you will simply follow him fully. So the question is, are you following the Lord? Are you able to say, follow me as I follow him? That was the cry of the Apostle Paul, and it should be our cry today. Well, here's how this ends up. Not just the enemy that was seen and the ego that was surrendered and the energy that was spent, but the enormous victory that was secured, The Lord is fixing to do something that only he can do. So notice first, the power of the Lord. Verse 22 says, And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. Let me just stop right there. And the Lord. Yes, they blew the trumpets. Yes, they broke the pitchers. Yes, they let the light shine. But the Lord caused this great battle to be won. And so down in the camps, something went through the host, the armies, and they begin to pull out their swords. In the darkness of the night, they begin to fight each other. And so you can just imagine how that started with just the sound of one sword, and then two swords, and 20 swords, and then 1,000, and then maybe hundreds of thousands of swords, all fighting each other for the moment before it began to die down and they begin to run. Everybody is fighting everybody. Why? Because the Lord is the victor. By his power and his might, they overcame. And yes, let me just say this. The Lord sometimes gives us responsibilities, but that responsibility has no power outside what the Lord does. So we are called to believe, yet it's not our belief that saves us. We are called to fall in baptism, yet our baptism does not save us. We are called to live faithfully for him in our holy life, yet does not save us. It is by the power of the Lord. And so we too can be great overcomers in all things when we simply trust in him. I'm reminded about little David when he goes to the Philistine, the giant. He says these words, Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Time and time again, we see in the Bible, you can look at Joshua chapter 6 when the walls came falling down, that God's power is demonstrated when the people of God simply did what God said. But notice, it does not end there. Not just the power of the Lord, but now the pursuit of the enemy. Verse 23 says, And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher, out of Manasseh, to pursue after the Midianites. And here's the thing that God desires from us. Not only do we fight, not only do we follow, not only do we be faithful, but our faithfulness draws others to do the same. They don't say, Wow, look what the Lord did. It's time to go to the house. They didn't say, Man, what a great victory, and went back to their tents. They finished the fight. They ran the course. They did not stop fighting the good fight until the fight was done. The Lord supplies the power, but expects us to continue the fight. The Lord gives victory, but expects us to follow through. The Lord is the reason of the winning, but gives us a responsibility to keep doing what he starts. So the question is, are we fighting the good fight? It starts with being on the same side of the Lord. Matter of fact, Jesus said in Matthew 20, verse 30, He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me is scattered abroad. So let me ask you, if you've not signed on the dotted line, if you've not trusted in Christ Jesus, if you've not believed upon him, you're on the wrong side. You're on the side of the Midianites that end poorly. Why not today to simply trust Him? God's provided everything. He sent His only begotten Son, Christ, to die in our stead and gave a way of freedom to all that call upon Him. He gave life. Secondly, He also has called us to serve. If you're here today and are a believer, what are you doing for Him? I'm telling you, God has given you a plan. God has given you a path. God has given you something to do for the fight that is ahead. Are you fighting for the Lord? Is your life found faithful in the thing that God's called you to do? He wants you to fight that good fight. How can you do that? I like what the songwriter said. He said, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. I'm the potter. You are the potter, I'm the clay. Mold me and make me after your will. While I'm waiting, yielded and still." What a great thought about an invitation. Gideon was willing to follow whatever God said. He yielded himself. He humbled himself and was found obedient. And that same call is for us today. If God is calling today, don't turn away from Him. Maybe it's in salvation, and you know that you need to get right with the Lord, that you know that you need salvation. You know you need Him as your Lord and Savior, and you can do it right where you sit at. The Bible says this clearly, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Simply trust Him today. Say, "Lord Jesus, save me." But it cannot stop there. Salvation is wonderful and fantastic, but God desires also for us to serve. Like Gideon, He wants you to pick up the torch, pick up the pitcher, pick up the trumpet, and be used of Him. So maybe today you're not doing that and you want to recommit your life. Maybe today it's something that you need to do, something that God's called you to be faithful in. Simply allow yourself to be used by Him. Maybe it's church membership. Maybe it's praying for somebody in this altar. Maybe it's praying for yourself. Whatever it is, let the great potter mold you as clay today, that you may be found faithful, that you may honor Him. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. Sometimes fighting the fight is awful scary. But I'm reminded of what the Lord told people in the Bible. He told old Jacob, "Behold, I am with you." He told Joseph basically the same thing. To Joshua and to David and to Solomon, to the apostles and the apostle Paul, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So when the battle rages, you know He's there. When the battle's hard, He's right there. And through Christ, we will surely overcome. The question is, whose side are you on? God's calling you to His side. I wonder, will you say, "Yes, Lord, here am I, send me." Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word that gives us hope and peace, that gives us direction, that gives us conviction. Lord, I pray that we would all simply pick up our thing that You've given us, our pitchers and our trumpets and our lights, that we may shine brightly for You and be used of You in the battles to come. Thank You again for the freedom we had to do this. Thank You for all that You've done for us. Bless the invitation and bless Your people now. In Jesus' name, amen.